Joining us now is Amy Verdun, who is chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. Her books include European Responses to Globalization and Financial Market Integration, Globalization, Development and Integration, and her latest, Ruling Europe, The Politics of the Stability and Growth Pact. She is also co-editor of the Journal of Common Market Studies. Welcome to Background Briefing, Amy Verdun.
Hi, thank you.
And today, the financial markets went haywire. The Swiss franc rose more than it has in 36 years against a lot of currencies. Obviously, the currency markets are concerned about U.S. economic recovery, which they consider to be in jeopardy, and the European debt crisis worsening. What is your... looking at it from abroad and having studied European economies, what I don't understand about the contrast here is that the Greek situation is largely due to the fact that they don't have their own currency and that they're part of the Eurozone, whereas the United States is the reserve currency of the world. It has the ability to in effect, be the bank, and nobody's ever called them, and they issue debt all the time. And recently, we've had this extraordinary eruption of nativism in the U.S. Congress, where the Tea Party Republicans have been telling the world, don't buy our tea bills. So the contrast couldn't be greater, to my mind.
Yes, well, I've been speaking to this in the last couple of weeks when I was still in Europe for a couple of months for research with some colleagues, and asking ourselves exactly that question. Like, does the United States not understand that your financial markets and all of the financial actors will just go haywire if you're not speaking with one voice at a really crucial time? And I think one of the things we see in the United States is that sort of, you know, partisan politics seems to be trumping good governance for the country, when in all other countries where these difficulties come by, countries know that polar opposites will have to come together first and rescue the country. So I think it looks as if the United States just hasn't felt a real crisis in the way that some of the European countries are feeling today, and that they feel they can just have these issues all in sort of in light of upcoming elections and sort of getting a one-upmanship on another part of the party. So it's mind-boggling to see this from a distance.
But isn't it, I guess all the European analysts and the smart money around the world has figured out the obvious, that this deal is not going to do anything but make economic conditions worse.
Yeah, I think we haven't seen the end of this. And as I said, I think partisan politics is a real big thing here. I was also watching this sort of the standoff, and it seemed to me that the whole issue has been, how can one party position itself better than another party, rather than trying to solve the problem for the country right now in terms of needing enough funds to kind of deal with the future spending and where taxes may or may not be coming from. So it's a bit of a, it doesn't seem to be very convincing, and you see the markets respond exactly in that way.
So just in terms of other shoes dropping, Amy Verdun, again, chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. It looks like the Dolce Vita is over in Italy, in the sense that they've already had an austerity package that went through some 57 billion, but of course it doesn't take effect until 2013 and 14 after the national elections. But apparently on Wednesday, Berlusconi is going to have to ask for more budget cuts. And I guess the word is that this is different from Greece. Spain and Italy are considered too big to fail, also too big to bail.
Yeah. No, I think this is a really important point. Coming back to your opening comments regarding Greece, as much as the United States has its own currency and can do whatever it likes, and Greece does not, a lot of the difficulties we've seen in the run-up to the Greek crisis, and as you know, we had one in May of last year, and then again over the past couple of months we had the same issue all over again, isn't really necessarily the fact that the Greeks can't devalue at this point. Part of it is that they're part of economic and monetary union, which means that instead of having your own central bank, you now have a joint central bank. And instead of having the markets correct you and your currency fluctuating, the corrections now have to come through the real sector. And I think when it was Greece, a fairly small part of the euro area, it was fairly controllable. But everybody understands that if Italy, you know, the third or second largest economy of the euro area, would come down to the fence and wasn't able to deal with its debt, that they can't really bail Italy out, especially not if it's Italy and Spain together. So one of the real concerns at this point is, can Italy and Spain get their act together so that they really need not have to go to the fence on this one?
But this is already in a bond market where you have. I mean, it's worth pointing out that it's all these bailouts go to the bondholders, not to the people in economic distress. And it does seem incredibly unfair that irresponsible lenders don't get punished, but irresponsible borrowers do, even if they're governments that have been booted out by their own people, like the Greek conservatives.
Yes. This is indeed true, and one of the issues that has been playing up all along when the Greeks were in this situation was, to what extent should one let Greece fall? So should one allow what they call a haircut, so that when paying further funds or offering Greece below market rate interest rates, that some of the debts will have to be restructured, which basically means that those who hold debt would not get the same amount of money back on their investment. And those are the ones that you were talking about, bondholders, which may or be you and me and our, you know, people who control our pensions, so to say, and that could be all over the world. But typically, these are larger investors and not Joe in the street kind of thing. So I think what we do need to realize is that whatever package is cooked up for these countries needs to have those considerations. Having said that, what we've seen with the whole financial crisis from 2007, 2008 onwards is that if one doesn't look after these big financial affairs, that the entire economy comes down. In that sense, finance and money is a special part of the economy, which is one of the reasons why people were very critical of letting a big player like Lehman Brothers go bankrupt, because you can't just take out one player and assume that the economy is going to be just fine and that those who are holding those shares would just kind of, you know, put up with it. You know, it's risk to you. So having Greece go, or Spain or Italy, isn't necessarily good for the average day person. So finding the right balance is really important. And in the recent bailout that we've seen for Greece, the second one of $109 billion of euros in the past, last week or 2 weeks ago, on the 21st of July, there was that point, that sort of 20% of all of the new money would come from the private sector. And I think this is in response to these issues that you've raised.
Well, Angela Merkel has been saying that for some time, that the public shouldn't have to take, the German public shouldn't have to pay when, you know, the banks should pony up more. But at this point, it seems, Amy Verdun, that not only do you have Berlusconi addressing the Italian parliament on the economy on Wednesday to call for more budget cuts, Spain's Prime Minister Zapatero apparently delayed his vacation because economic indicators are not good, and investors are demanding a premium of 4 percentage points over benchmark German bonds to lend Spain for 10 years. And the spread for Italy late Tuesday stood at 3.5%, which is more than double where it was a month ago. So they're fighting the markets, and the markets are ruthless.
You're totally right. I think one of the things that this whole crisis has taught the Europeans is that as much as Europe over the past 10 years has done something that we understand from our American friends, right? The Europeans do this at the European versus member state level. So if you're in a political situation and you want to have a one-upmanship on somebody, you just target the European Union. So you say, oh, we don't want this. It's all Europe out there. And so a lot of this sort of speaking for your own country and then against either other countries or the EU is making a very divisive image of what the EU is all about, whereas in fact they're all rooting for the same team and they're just trying to appease some of their local population, voters, trying to look good. This is now becoming very, very costly. And I think the situation where Italy and Spain are in now are very domestically, politically difficult. And the European Union as a whole is also not necessarily speaking with one voice. And the new IMF chief said this just a couple of days ago in the Financial Times, just saying, you know, it's really important that they speak with one voice. And so they need to coordinate and give the right signal, or markets are just going to go all over the place. And I think that's what we've been seeing just today, but also in the recent 3 or 4 or 5 weeks running up to all of this.
Well, Amy Verdun, a lot of analysts have argued that there was a whole year of dithering about the Greek situation until they really focused on it, and by which time it had gotten pretty much out of control. And I'm just wondering now, just in closing, are they going to get on top of this, or is this debt crisis that's in these individual countries that we've been talking about, could it grow into a serious threat to the Eurozone and the currency system?
Yeah, I think we're already at a serious threat to the euro area. I think this has been made this point has been made time and again. If one talks to those who are close to the bargaining table, they still don't have that scenario on the table. When they were talking about the Greek situation at the end of July and trying to solve that, the various scenarios on the table had to do with exactly how you value this and partial restructuring and all of that. There was no serious on-the-table conversation about euro area breakup and all that, but everybody knows it's in the background and that if it gets out of hand, that could be a scenario that suddenly would be on the plate. And so, yeah, there is a serious risk. I do think the political support from all of the different political directions in many of the countries doesn't want to go there, would not be motivated to have that happening as one of the solutions. So I think this situation now in Spain and in Italy will just speed up the urgency and make the importance more heightened than it would have been in sort of a week or two ago. So I think the awareness is there. And the question is if they have sufficient amount of leadership to speak with one voice, be creative, and be sure that they're averting these difficult times. And I think everybody's aware of the problems, and it's at what point are they so serious that they'll start speaking with one voice and be more focused on solving the problems in a more long-term fashion.
Well, thank you for joining us here today, Amy Verdun.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Again, I've been speaking with Amy Verdun, who is Chair of Political Science Department at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. Her books include European Responses to Globalization and Financial Market Integration, Globalization, Development and Integration, and her latest, Ruling Europe, The Politics of the Stability and Growth Pact. She's also co-editor of Journal of Common Market Studies. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with the author of Age of Greed.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound, a mark, a yen, a buck or a pound is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.